Using pre-planned lines on dating apps to start conversation does not work generally for women because we have a sixth sense. We have like a sniff test. We can tell that those lines are maybe lines that you got from a YouTube pickup artist dude, or you even maybe came up with it on your own, but now you've used it for every single girl over and over and over. It's like that saying, give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day, or teach a man how to fish and he'll eat for a lifetime. Give a man a pre-written line and he'll date for a day. Teach him how to banter and he'll date for a lifetime. Or maybe not a lifetime, because you'll find the one right away and then you'll stop dating and you'll just be married. But you know what I mean. I am Kristen from KristenandChill.com, and I am the banter queen. I teach guys how to charm more than just the socks off of women. And if you're struggling in conversation, if you're getting ghosted, if you're never hearing back, if you're never, ever getting the results that you deserve, hit me up at KristenandChill.com.
Want to know the hidden meaning behind what women say and do? Then check out The Chictionary. It's the Wing Girl Method's manual that gives you a full rundown of all the things women say that confuse men, written in dictionary format. Go get a copy of The Chictionary by going to winggirlmethod.com/chick. That's winggirlmethod.com/chick.
Women, I'm Kristen Carney, one of your amazing hosts. We have two amazing hosts. The other, as you know her, Marnie Kinneris, best-selling author of Get Insider. Check her website out, winggirlmethod.com.
Thank you.
I'm being very professional right now. And we have Brad P. on the show today, who's been on the show before.
Yes.
Tons of good information. Dating coach, is that what you call it?
Sure.
Okay. Just pick up, dude.
That's fine.
Is pickup artist.
He's an everything man, actually.
I never liked the term that much.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
They told me you got to use it, so I used it.
Okay.
And it was good.
Yeah.
It was a good thing.
Just say,
I feel like if there was a pickup artist, like, it would be you.
Yes.
So it's like.
Because I'm so artsy.
Yes, exactly.
I want to be the artist formerly known as pickup artist.
Perfect. You are. Well, that's how I see you. Now that I actually know you better, like, I do not see you as a pickup artist at all. You're just like a natural, awesome dude.
Is your hair naturally black? Do you dye it?
I dye it.
Okay. Because it's a great black.
I just dyed it like 2 days ago. It's all it's fresh.
It's like,
and
it's very
right
fresh.
Now.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm very jealous of it. I wish I could pull off black hair.
Come
you
by.
You could.
No, I've tried. It
we
doesn't
get
work.
This box. They sell it at Rite Aid. We can put it in your hair. Actually, no, you shouldn't
no,
do black.
I can't. No, I've tried. It looks so bad because I'm too pink or something for it. Like, you need to be more olive-y like you.
Right.
Like,
so could
Cox,
I pull it
Jennifer
off?
Connelly.
You said I was olive-y as well.
Yeah, you can pull off black hair.
Yeah, you could do it. You're all Greek and Mediterranean.
Yeah, you could definitely do it.
I'm doing it tomorrow.
You should stick with that like ombre thing.
Yeah,
you
got but going it's like
on.
Girl like next door and kind of boring.
That
I'm the girl
sells,
two houses
you know?
Down.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know?
Oh, the crazy chick.
Yeah. But you're good.
He's the guy who's saying it's sexy. He's like, stick with it.
Thank you. It is
I think
okay.
You should. I like ombre on a girl. I mean, it's so good that even Jared Leto did it.
That's true. Well, I've actually been told occasionally I look like Jared Leto, and I've never been more flattered.
Because he's very pretty.
Yeah.
Very pretty.
I'm like, okay, I'll take it.
Yeah, exactly.
We
Bring
have the same
on.
Chest size.
I like it. Well, I wanted to talk with Brad about the friend zone, because I know that that is a big topic for a lot of guys. And you were saying that's great. I have a lot of opinions about it. So I would love to hear your opinions on the friend zone, because you gave a great example of how to stay out of the friend zone by saying to Kristen when she made her comment, it's very sexy.
Yeah. So that instantly takes you out of the friend zone.
Well,
not that,
hear.
You know, but yeah.
I want to hear what are your opinions about the friend zone?
Well, the friend zone is the ultimate trap that will do you in.
Yes.
It's the end of the world.
It is the end of the world.
It is so scary. The reason I know this is because I spent a lot of time in the friend zone myself before I started to get good with women. And I would do the classic thing where you become friends with a girl and after a few months try to ask her out. And she says, no, we're just friends. You're too nice. You're so nice. You're so nice. And I was like, I thought they liked me because I'm nice.
Yeah.
But it was a disaster. So I was eventually like, no more friend zone. Never again. I'd rather kill myself. Right. And that really helped a lot.
So just getting angry?
Yeah.
So you clearly haven't been back in the friend zone because you're still alive and didn't kill yourself.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
But what does that mean?
Really haven't been. Like if a girl is trying to friend zone me when I'm talking to her, I will try to dodge it and do anything I can in that
conversation. What does that mean when she's trying to friend zone you?
If she's like, yeah, we can hang out. I mean, like, maybe you can introduce me to that guy because I'm looking for a job. Or if she's looking for something else to use me for a connection or something friend zony and I'm sensing it, you know, then I will try to force her to get in or out of a attraction situation quickly.
Right.
Okay. So for example, I might start getting very touchy-feely with her, you know, not anything like where you'd call the cops, but I'll try to put my arm around her. So if she's like, whoa, stop, no way, then I'm like, all right, I'm out of here, I'm leaving. But if she's kind of on the fence, she's like, well, maybe I like this guy, then, you know, she'll have to kind of get into that I'm attracted to this guy thing, and she cannot possibly friend zone me. You cannot friend zone a guy who's a little on the handsy side. You know?
Oh my God, I just went out with
someone
the other day.
It's a quote from Donald Trump, right? Is that what it, right?
I went out with someone the other day and he told me I was being too handsy.
Really?
And I'm not handsy at all. But
were you doing like jazz hands the entire time?
Yes, I was like, Chicago, Chicago.
You keep to yourself. You cross your hands over your body the entire time.
I usually do. And I got like buzzed and I thought he was really, really cute.
So you started like groping him?
Well, I just kind of kept grabbing his arms.
Did
and,
he
like,
say it flirty
funny.
Though?
Yeah, he did. Like it was like he wanted to be handsy. Like
Yeah.
Good game on his
like,
part.
Like, can you just move your hand down?
Yeah. Like, he's like, wow, you're being really handsy. And I mean, to him, it was like fun. But I was, and it was fun to be handsy. I'm not normally handsy.
I know.
And
I can't really picture you doing that.
Neither.
Yes, it's very vulnerable and free to be able to put yourself out there. That's why it is so appealing.
Yeah.
When a guy can do it, anytime where he's controlling himself, self-editing, cutting himself off from being sexual or playful in some way, that those are things that land you in. I don't even like calling it the friend zone because it's not. You're not friends with the person.
It's called hell.
It's just, it's really the non-sexual
zone. The non-sex zone, yeah.
Yeah. Because that's what happens.
I'm becoming a pro at trying to put guys in the friend zone. Because I'm dating and like a lot of guys are asking me out and it's like almost a technique on the girl's end as well.
It
like
is.
How to do it.
Girls are really good at it.
Because we want to be friendly. We don't want to totally reject, but like the person's cool. Like there's this one guy who I went out with once and he's so cute and like really successful. And I actually met someone who knew him and they were like, they're like, oh, he's doing great. Like he's doing so great for himself. And they're like, he wants to get married. Like, but I just don't feel that sexual pull from him at all,
right?
Yeah. And so he's like, you want to go to the movies? And I'm like, yeah, totes, let's go. But like I can't go to like maybe next week, you know? So right. It's like I'm like,
so you're saying yes to the invites but
like
on a friendship
really
level
following well, up and I'm being casual in the speech.
Can you comment a little bit more? So I just, what was the sentence that you said right before that? But not in the sexual way. So what does that mean? Like what could he do differently to into that sexual zone?
I hate to say this, he's being too nice.
But what does that mean?
He's super sweet. He's telling me like how pretty he thinks I am and he's got a crush on me.
God, what an idiot.
I know. But
well,
it's like,
but Brad, can you tell me why that's such a negative?
Because I already have him. It's like
no challenge
at all. And then on top of it, when we met, he was super duper nice and he's like, we were going to the movies, which is not a good first date, but he loves the movies, I love the movies and whatever.
Yeah.
And
so then it's a great first date.
So he's like, hey, I'm stopping at because there's like a Trader Joe's like right there. And he's like, I'm going to stop at Trader Joe's. Do you want some cookies? And that was really sweet. But like,
when it's your grandma.
Right. And I'm like, it's not like a turn on. Like, I'd rather get there and like have some like fun, sexy banter. And then we
and
get like
shitty eating his cookies.
Candy.
He's like, oh, did you want something?
Yeah. Like in that more playful way rather than he's so giving and so nice. And it's like, yes, you want that once you're in the relationship.
Right.
But when you're playing the game and kind of trying to go forward, it's just everything that he's done has just been so sweet and so caring. That I haven't.
Does
had
it
that
not
oomph.
Seem sincere?
Seems very sincere. You can tell he's
it's
a very sincere,
sincere
person.
But girls just don't like guys like that because they're submissive.
Right. Okay. Exactly.
Can you expand on that a little bit more?
Yeah. When you act submissive around women, they assume you have no other options. Therefore, you're low value in the dating market.
Right.
So, for example, if I was to say, wow, you're so pretty. Why are you so pretty? Why are you so pretty? Can I get you some cookies? Can I get you some popcorn? Is there anything I can do for you? I'm telegraphing the fact that I am really out of luck in dating right now.
This better work out.
I'll do anything to get this.
Yeah.
You know? It's like walking into a car dealership and being like, I'll pay any amount for any car you want to give me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No,
is
like,
it really
sucker.
The exact same thing?
Pretty much. It's similar. Yeah. But, how guys can understand it because guys think in terms of economical things.
Right. But let's say that this nice, kind behavior is not coming from a desperate place and they do have options and they're just a nice person.
Yeah, that happens and girls can sense that. But in this case, that's not what's happening.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So how does somebody who that is happening to, how do they project that behavior in a way where a woman wouldn't recognize that? Like, how do they balance out that nice behavior?
It's really
behavior?
Easy. It's really easy. All you have to do is have sex with so many women that you don't feel desperate anymore. Then you can be nice to anybody you want.
Sounds so easy.
Yeah.
It's great.
How do we make that happen?
Well, that's why you have to listen to Kristen and Marnie and Brad, and we'll walk you through it. I can't tell you in one sentence.
Exactly.
Keep listening. You'll figure it out.
But here's the thing. So a lot of guys will write to me and they'll tell me a scenario about themselves and a girl that they've been hanging out with or that they've been kind of, you know, dating a little bit. And the scenario is that she'll write to them, you know, 2 dates in or 3 days in and say, you know, you're wonderful, you're nice, you're kind. I'm just not feeling anything with you. And they call that being friend zoned. I just say that she's not even friend zoning you.
she's just saying,
I don't feel that chemistry with you. And that's what I really wanted to hone in on with you guys. Like how do you feel that sexuality that you talked about before? Like, can you give me a tangible example of what that looks like? And what does that chemistry look like so that guys who are super nice, I don't want to bash people for being nice and kind and giving if that's in.
But they need it.
Why?
You guys, do not do that. You're a pussy. Girls don't want it.
The guy,
stop it.
Yeah, the guy that I went
There's
out
nothing
with.
To balance it
I
out
I wish
with.
Somebody would have punched me in the face and told me to stop that.
Yeah.
When I was new at this, so I could toughen up and stop being so submissive towards women.
I think of it as so differently. It's not okay, yes, there's certain behaviors that I think of submissive when they're doing it because they think that's what the woman wants or that's what will get them the attention. But when there are guys who are like sincerely kind and nice,
it's still submissive.
It's still submissive?
Yeah, because women perceive it that way because women engage in stereotyping. What happens is you meet a girl. Yeah, because women are smart and they should engage in stereotyping and men should as well. You meet a girl. You're nice to her. She says, he was nice to me. The last 50 guys who were nice to me tried to give me 3 compliments and get in my pants and they didn't even like me. Or they were so submissive and desperate that I don't really even want them anyway. Right. So they stereotype you in with those guys, even if you are that genuine kind of guy, that genuine nice, it just doesn't work. Like even it doesn't matter where it comes from. It still isn't going to work. And you have to focus on what works. Otherwise you get stereotyped as low value in the dating market.
Interesting. Because I'm trying to think back to certain people who I've interacted with before that have been extremely kind and giving and nice, but I've been attracted to.
I'm literally sitting here trying to think the same thing.
Good luck, ladies.
And
the only person I can think of with that behavior was somebody who was like in his 50s, who was like just like was the kindest person. It was genuine. It was sincere. But then he also had like this sort of sarcastic, teasing side to him as well, where he would be very firm on things that he didn't like so that if there was a boundary overstepped, he would let you know. So that
that's
it was, like, that's what I'm saying about the way to balance it out. Like there is,
right, but guys can't give those boundaries and they can't show those 2 different sides. And that's why it doesn't work for them.
Right.
You got to be willing to say no. You got to be willing to lose the girl. You got to be willing to deem the girl undesirable.
Okay.
You got to be able to throw that girl in the trash, walk away and find a new one.
But okay. So let's say there's a guy that's writing into us and says, you know, I can't help it. I am a nice person. I like people to be happy. I like to do good things for other individuals, and it feels good for me.
My suggestion would be to change and become a different person. There's no way around it.
I kind of agree.
Yeah.
What? Well,
you have to become a different person.
But you just said there was a way to balance it out.
I'm a nice person, like genuinely nice. Like I hold the door for people. I pick up, like if I drop a wrapper on the floor, like I pick it up. But
that's different.
Well, I'm a good person, nice person. I'm everything. Okay. Gorgeous. No. But I think like for me, I'm also very snarky and I can kind of compete in the world of not a nice person, not all the time because I'm genuinely very sensitive and sweet and nice. But I think like I have a dual side. Mm-hmm. And so I'm able to feel like, I mean, I'm a girl, so it's different, but I'm able to give off, I think, sexual chemistry because I'm a nice person.
Well, the things you're doing are flirtatious.
But I'll be flirty because I can mess with you.
Okay.
And so you need to have both sides. It's not that you don't need to be a nice person. It's that you need to have both sides.
Something else to you other than just being kind, nice.
Because that is so boring.
It's so annoying. To
it's
be
annoying
honest,
and
it's
boring.
Annoying. I hate when my husband says to me, I was going to go see this movie, but do you want me to wait for you to see that? I know it's the nicest thing in the entire world, but I'd rather him say, I saw this movie on the plane.
Yeah.
Oh, and then it's like, oh, you didn't wait for
banter,
me.
Like,
yes,
oh,
exactly.
There was actually a meme the other day. You don't know what memes are.
No
you're a mom,
clue.
Exactly. I can't believe you don't know what memes are.
I finally know what a GIF is. I'm using them all the time on my phone. I feel like I'm so outdated because people are like, I saw this one like 5 years ago.
Yeah, GIFs are like so 5 years ago. But there was... Well, actually, now I'm misusing the term meme. But
you don't even know what it is.
There's a picture of a cake that said, I'm sorry I watched an episode of the show We Love Together Without You. And I thought that was kind of funny.
It is funny because that would be like the death of my husband. And for me, I'd be like, okay, it's fine. Right, whatever. Right. Just watch it on my own time. Yeah. But it is interesting how like kindness, it does annoy us.
Well, here's something that maybe can mix in that niceness in a way that'll attract women, because that's kind of what we're going for here.
Yeah.
If you are unpredictable and sometimes you are nice and sometimes you just tease and make jokes and sometimes you're kind of a dick, and you mix those all together and do them at the right times, that would work.
Yeah, it's almost like instead of bringing the girl cookies, it's like you take all that stuff, you put it in the batter, you blend it all up, and then you serve up that like,
and then you eat the cookies
asshole
yourself.
But cookie. It's like a cookie asshole cookie.
Yeah.
That makes
sense. Well, can you tell me what that looks like? What all of that looks like?
Sure. If the girl is testing you, you might draw a boundary and tease her about it. Okay.
Okay.
If the girl is being nice to you and showing a lot of interest, you can be nice and show interest back. You should never be the first one to show interest. You shouldn't be the first one to compliment a girl. You shouldn't lead with "you're so beautiful," because that'll get you stereotyped as, you know,
you're already underneath her when times. You say that.
Yeah. You're putting her on a pedestal. And when
what if she said, "I'm so beautiful, you're just a nice person"?
That'd be funny. That'd be great.
You could say, "You're so beautiful, but not as beautiful as me."
Yeah.
Right.
That might
That's
work.
Funny.
Okay.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had the guy that I have been into say, "I think like we're on the same level looks wise." Like he kind of was like messing with me about it.
Oh, I like
that's,
that.
That's good. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's playful because it's still complimenting you, but it's also complimenting himself.
Right.
Now,
and then
the girl...
I said, "Well, actually, I'm above you on the like, you know, so then."
Right.
Yeah.
When the girl is misbehaving, you have to draw the line and you have
to. So misbehaving meaning what?
There's a lot of different ways that girls might misbehave or try to treat you bad. Especially with attractive girls.
So flaking
treat
you
on bad. You?
Canceling plans.
Sometimes that can be acceptable and sometimes it's not.
Yeah.
There's a lot of anti-flaking, you know, techniques.
Shampoos.
Oh, which are what? Wait, tell me an anti-flaking technique.
Here's my favorite anti-flaking shampoo. When the girl says, "I can't make it tonight," I will write her back really, really fast and like instantaneously as soon as I see it and say, "I can't make it tonight."
Oh my God, I love that. So it's like you canceled first. Like who canceled first?
Who canceled first?
Right, I love that.
I call it the double flake reversal.
I like
love
that. That's kind of funny.
So I flake on her as she's flaking on me. And then I'll even
love
be like,
that.
"Oh, wow, that's weird that you just said that too. But really, I really don't want to hang out with you at all, ever." You know? And she's like, "What?" You know, so we get a little more funny with it.
Okay. No,
that.
These are all cute little things. Okay.
Yeah.
No, the friend zone is a tough space. And I think it's just, it's
can you
wrongly
undo the friend zone though? Can you?
Yes, I think you can.
I don't think you can.
Recommend it.
Like, I don't think you can.
You don't recommend it.
No, in rare cases, a girl and a guy will know each other and be friends and then date later. But the reason that happens is because the girl liked him the whole time. Or the girl, there's a change that makes the girl.
Or it's like, my eggs are drying up and I need to get married.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's not how you want to get your
relationship.
That's not a good reason to start a relationship.
Crunching.
If the girl likes you the whole time and it takes you months and months to get out of the friend zone, I mean, that's pretty bad. You should have just been, you guys should have been banging like week one.
Right.
You know? So this is what I really recommend. If you're going to try and befriend and date, that's going to waste a lot of time. You only have so much time. Time is the finite resource in dating. There's only so many girls you can talk to, so many text messages you can send, so many online dating hellos you can send. So you need to cut down your time and make everything efficient. So when you get friend-zoned, what I strongly suggest, and I don't know if you girls are going to like this, I say, delete her number, delete her off Facebook, never talk to her again.
Yeah,
I'm fine with that.
I agree.
You guys are agreeing?
Yeah,
okay. Yeah,
absolutely.
I
That's
totally
agree.
Because then you can,
no
they can
move on.
Well, my roommate the other day was talking about this. The even as the girl, like if a guy is kind of just like using a girl, if you just disappear, then she was saying the other day, like he'll have a chance to feel what life feels like without you. And it might not feel good. And that might bring value you more and bring him back.
Well, but it helps you value yourself as well. Because the truth is that friendship is usually just offered as a fake offering.
Yeah.
It's like, let's be friends, but I don't even really like you.
Yeah.
You know, unless you feel that connection with that person from both sides, and then you can be friends.
You know, why girls do that. Sometimes, it's just to get out of the awkward situation.
Yeah.
But I think there's also something going on instinctually with women where they like to accumulate a tremendous number of friends and connections
that
as a safety backup plan.
Yeah.
Because women are always concerned about safety and having backups. And that's why girls like to have thousands of friends on Facebook and thousands of fans on Instagram. It's like this backup that she's never going to use.
To their own insecurity?
To their own insecurity, yeah. It's just this comfort level thing.
Right.
So if you are getting friend-zoned a lot, you're becoming part of her imaginary comfort collection. Yeah.
Definitely. It's like stuffed animals.
Well, the thing is that I have a lot of guys who'd write into me who then try to attempt a friendship after, and they're like, wait, I thought you wanted to be friends. And it gets very confusing because the girl is still non-responsive.
Yeah, most they take often, it literal.
Yeah, and the thing is, this is what I used to do, and I probably still would do it if I was single, and I still have done it with my friends. When I am having down moments or lonely moments, I'll reach out to people and see if they still care about me in some way. Uh-huh. Like with guys, I would
very
do it.
Thing.
Yeah, it's a very normal thing to do.
Oh my God, I'm becoming so routine doing that.
Yeah, and that is what happens. I kind of agree with you. It's not like such an angry thing that you have to do. It's just like, yeah, I'm not going to be friends with you, but it was great getting to know you. If you have single friends that you think I may like, introduce me, but till then, you know, we're not going to be in each other's worlds. Where we weren't in each other's worlds a week and a half ago, we're not going to be in our worlds now together. There's
I
no
think
point.
It's so good to just forget these girls forever and delete them off Facebook. It's so good for you. It's going to change your self-image. It's going to change your life. Because when, as a man, when you're having your lonely moments and you're being unrealistic in your own brain, you're saying, oh, but that one girl, she kind of liked me. And meanwhile, she's really friend-zoned you and doesn't even like you at all. You're going to then stalk her Facebook and say, hey, how are you? And all this stuff. It's bad for you. It's bad to take those kind of actions. It's bad for your self-respect.
It distracts you from other people as well who are going to give you.
Exactly.
Right. And time is finite.
Yes, I completely agree.
You cannot waste your time on these friend zone girls. Forget it. Move on. Delete it. Rip off the Band-Aid. Forget it. It's not going
to
happen.
I wanted to read you an email from somebody. This is a friend zone situation. Okay.
Sorry, I was ranting, Marnie.
No, that's okay. It was perfect. I'm the queen of the rant, so trust me. The audience is very used to it. Here is some background for you on the issue I am having. I have been interested in a woman I worked with years ago since we worked together. Okay, interested is a huge understatement. Fallen hard is more like it. We have been in and out of touch over the years and got back in touch last summer. I have been helping her out because she is a close friend and have told her, I know, like that's the worst statement, how I feel about her. Since then, I have turned into the nice guy with her doing things to please her. Not sure why I'm not normally like that with women. I flew down to the city she lives in for her birthday a few months back and made a big production of it. A dozen roses to her work, white and purple, her favorite color. Asked her before the trip what her favorite food was and took her to one of the best reviewed restaurants of the of that type in the city.
Not the
pricey, just really good food and a few other things while I was there. For a weekend. This is a lot of shit to do for somebody who doesn't feel the same way about you.
Yeah.
She made the comment that she was uncomfortable with that kind of attention because it is something she would not do for others. Since then, we have had a few arguments, but nothing. We haven't moved past quickly. Over the last month, I have gotten the impression that she is feeling guilty about my helping her. An idiot me sent an email listing what I have done for her and said it was all because I love her.
This was
just over a week ago. After a week of silence, we started talking again, and the following is part of the email I got back. I love how you said you started talking again, because listen to this email.
This is so painful because I used to kind of do stuff like
I know.
That's why it hurts.
I've had people do these things for me. It hurts on the other end too, because you're like, why are you doing this stuff? I'm saying to you, I do not like you that way. Stop doing this stuff. It makes me uncomfortable and it's horrible. And I feel like you're going to kill me in my sleep. This is what she wrote to him. If you decide you want to be friends, then that's fine. But I will not I will not put up with any more fits of anger. I refuse to hear any more about how much you're in love with me. Enough of both. I cannot and do not wish to control you, but I will have control over what you share. Keep your anger to yourself. Keep your love of me to yourself. And for the love of God, stop feeling sorry for yourself. Shit like, I'm not good enough for you needs to stop. It has nothing to do with being good enough for me. I'm not into you. Plain and fucking simple. I'm not now or ever going to be in love with you. And I've never, ever played games with you. I've been very clear about what I think and want. Since then, I have let her know I am pulling back while I fix my issues. And where she is concerned, there seem to be confidence related issues. My question is there any way to recover from this and get the relationship I want? Or am I hopelessly in the friend zone and better to just move on?
Move.
I said, you're not even in the friend zone. Like, you're in the, this guy's got to die in order for him to stop. Like, she doesn't want any of this.
Yeah. There's no chance. That's like, this is the definition of delusion to me.
But it is interesting because in my mind, there is a chance when, like, let's say 5 years down the road, if they see each other out at a wedding, let's say she's single, he's single,
so
and he's flirting with other girls and being super suave and charming. There is something in her that's going to say, I want that attention
this
back.
It's interesting that you said that because, like, the only remote chance that I teach has something to do with what you're saying.
Right.
You know, first off, we're going to put on the kid gloves with this guy a little bit. He's kind of all sad about it.
Yeah.
Tender guy, you know. So look, I'm not going to call you names on this one, buddy. I'm not going
to
call you.
You're just trying to get those purple and white roses sent to you.
But, you know, this guy's got nice guy syndrome. There's a book about it. It's from Robert Glover, who's a doctor, and should read it and do all the exercises. Because nothing is going to change in your life. You'll repeat the same pattern over and over until you fix it. Now, as far as getting this one girl, you know, this is like a disease. People looking for this one girl. You're not the only guy who has this problem. It's thousands and millions of guys have this problem.
And girls, on the flip side, do this as well.
Girls
do it. Mm-hmm. So here's one thing you could do. Go read Mr. Nice, No More Mr. Nice Guy. And go learn how to meet women. And be really good at it. Because the reason this happened to you in the first place, the root cause of this situation is your lack of options.
Yeah.
She was a girl where you worked and that's how you met her. So you obviously don't have the ability to go meet girls in bars or at the coffee shop or on the street or on the internet or anyplace else. So you would not be having this problem if you had other options. You would have forgotten about this girl years ago. So get good at meeting girls. Okay. Then go have sex with like as many girls as you want. Maybe it's 3, maybe it's 300, whatever in your mind is the right number. And then start
247.
Dating. 247. Good number. And then start dating a bunch of girls. And you know what? Maybe she's going to hear about it. Maybe she's going to hear
that you're the stud.
That you're the stud.
Or she'll feel the vibe change.
Or
she'll feel your energy change.
Right. But do not approach her.
No, but don't be like,
leave
hey,
this
do you
girl
feel like
alone.
How different I am? You don't do that. You just.
Here's my laundry list of all the girls that I fucked in the past 2 months. You can call them.
Let her hear about it. Second hand, third hand, and then let her come to you. Mm-hmm. Do not make the first move. Forget it. Consider this girl dead to you and do all these other things. And maybe she'll come back if she hears about it. If you're a legendary stud, become a legendary stud. And when you do, you're not really going to care that much if this girl comes back, but maybe she will.
Right. Exactly. And that I think that is perfect advice. A lot of guys are like, how the hell am I going to sleep with all these girls? But as you were saying,
I can't even get this one girl.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a process. It's a journey.
I got to get 247.
It is a journey and you can learn to do all of these things. And that's why there are programs like your programs that exist.
Sure.
There's programs like my programs that exist. And really at the core of every program, whether you're going to go sleep with 247 girls or not, it's going to provide you with the idea in your head that there are options out there for you, and you know what to do if you have those options coming your way, so that you don't put as much emphasis on this one girl who lives really freaking far from you, who's told you time and time again she is not into you.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Okay. We'll be back after this. If you listen to the Ask Women podcast, then you are already miles and miles and miles ahead of other men when it comes to attracting and getting the girls you want. But I must confess, there's one missing piece in the puzzle, and that's flirting, or the ability to ignite sexual chemistry with any girl you meet in a matter of minutes. Most guys suck at flirting. They can't flirt their way out of a paper bag. But as your personal wing girl, I can't let you be one of those guys. That's why I want to show you the most effective step-by-step formulaic approach to flirting with any girl you like. This formulaic approach has been tested on thousands of girls and has been proven to work like magic. Yes, magic. You just apply the formula and see results instantly, and it's that powerful. To find out everything about this flirting formula, all you have to do is go to winggirlmethod.com/flirty. I've made a special video for you where I reveal what this formula is all about. Go to winggirlmethod/flirty and you'll find out all about it.
All right. Hi, Marty, Kristen, and guest. I've been listening to your podcast for quite some time now. Ooh, a woman in the audience, another woman. And I have to say, you guys are spot on and you cover a lot of great issues. I have a couple of dating questions of my own. I'm a 23-year-old female college student about to graduate in May and head to the military, National Guard, to serve a life goal of mine that is probably deep-rooted somewhere in my fetish for men in uniform, and also a compulsive Bumble swiper and lover of free sushi and drinks.
I have an alpha personality and am attracted to alpha, confident, tall, muscular men. I love witty banter.
She's
going to
have so much sex in the military.
Oh my God, yeah. I love witty banter and easy conversation. And because of this, I am often disappointed after my interactions with men. Mm-hmm. This is you. I have been on close to 100 first dates with many wonderful guys, but none of them have ever turned into anything more than a casual fling because I've had a bad habit of ghosting them left and right. A couple of times that I've been on a date, I knew it wasn't going to go anywhere, but I played along as if I was interested so the guy wouldn't feel like he was wasting his time and money. One time I actually was swiping while the guy went to the bathroom. More than one time I had to delete the Bumble app temporarily so the notifications didn't pop up for my date to see. Once I feel that someone is extremely interested and they start texting me nonstop and asking me to hang out, any attraction I had before instantly fades. Too easy. Those guys that seem more detached after a date, I find myself more attracted to them and want to wife them up for sport, yet never with the intent of actually dating them. The kicker is that I actually do want a solid relationship and to find that one person to call mine and grow with. I don't have a fear of commitment, I don't think, but I also don't want to put myself in a position where I commit and then a couple of months down the road, I meet someone better and then be put in a predicament. I know there are plenty of guys like this, serial daters. Some people may call them players, but I see where they are coming from. I'm very confident in myself and need someone who is the same. Yet the dating pool is filled with older men than me who need more than I need from them. And I am losing hope that I'll find someone who excites me and I'll be proud of and want to be with. I know I'm still young, but I've had a lot, if not eerily too much, of experience with men of different races, ages, financial status, etc. I've been around the block enough times and I know exactly what I don't want in a man. Can my struggle be because I'm on Bumble and the men on Bumble are of a certain breed that isn't satisfying me? I don't have the time to find men in bars and clubs, mainly because it's not my scene, partly because I live in suburban New Jersey, but mostly because I'm a full-time college student
really
and hold a part-time job, maybe because you talk too much,
right.
and dedicate any free... No, she's just trying to give us all the info. And dedicate any free time I have to volunteering at my local nursing home. But I will always find time to squeeze in a date here and there if I see potential. I've been single and happy for over 2 years. I'm drained from spending time with guys I don't want to invest in. And I need you to tell me what I'm doing wrong and where to find good guys because I know they're out there. It's almost done. There's obviously a lot more to my situation, but that is the list of it. I'd love to hear you back from you and discuss what the hell I'm missing in the equation. My Instagram is, I looked her up. She's very cute. She's blonde. She's adorable. Okay. What do you think about, what's her name? Katie.
Well, I mean, I can relate to the part where she said, basically, the banter level of with guys, very disappointing. I agree. Mm-hmm. And I think guys just think like in this kind of old fashioned, not old fashioned, but like they're just kind of like, we said hi, now we should meet. I don't think guys have really gotten that you have to connect before you
meet.
But
she's going on 100 first dates. So she's actually like, it's not even.
Yeah, but she's not feeling chemistry clearly with them. And I can say, and I know people have heard me say this now a million times, the banter is so important. Every date I've gone on where we didn't have banter was a bad date. Mm. Like if we didn't have banter beforehand, my attraction wasn't, it's almost like it revs up the attraction or warms it up. It's like the burner's on a little bit. And then once you meet in person, you can see if that actually turns into something. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that has anything to do with anything.
That's interesting.
But that,
that's really good advice for you guys. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
My opinion on this girl, Katie, was her name, right? I think she's a very normal 23-year-old girl.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything I've never heard of before in what she just said. I think it's a very normal thing she's going through. I think what, I'll tell you what I think most girls do. They will just kind of chase after high status guys, and not a bad idea at all to just, you know, chase high status guys. They're going to like bang you out and not be too attached. And that's a thing you need to go through for a while until you are done with that and you're looking for something more serious. One thing you say in your email is that you're looking for something more serious and you want a relationship. And it didn't quite ring true for me.
Yeah, me too.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, where I was like, no, you don't.
I think our society tells girls they have to be in the market for a serious relationship or else they're a bad person.
It tells both men and women they have to be.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But I think girls get it even worse.
100%. Especially at a younger age.
Yeah, exactly. So
you're 23. You're not like in a serious relationship.
Yeah,
what's
you're
wrong
not married
with you?
Yet?
To me, it sounds weird to be in a serious relationship when you're 23.
Well, we live in LA.
Live in LA. That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
But I mean, nobody can tell you what to want. You have to want what you want and get to the bottom of that. And you kind of want everything all at the same time. You want a really dominant guy, but you want a guy who treats you good, but you want a relationship, but you want to get, you know, a bunch of guys in uniform and have casual sex. And I think it's very normal for women to want everything simultaneously. That's just kind of the way the brain is wired, in my opinion. I think men have it too. So I think you need to go through a series of phases. First phase for you right now, since you're drained, is just to relax. Don't go on any dates for a couple weeks. Just catch your breath again.
Yeah, 100
dates is a lot. Yeah, you can overdo it easily.
Yeah, I think you've exhausted
yourself. If the potential is there to even really hit it off with someone, you're so drained from meeting so many other people that you're just kind of like going through the motions.
Totally. She's got fatigue and that can kill chemistry.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. So when
and the fact that you see so many options coming through the door every single day, you're like, oh, well, there's another one around the corner. Sure, I'm not really feeling it with this one, but let's see what's behind door number two.
Yeah, you guys ever hear of the paradox of choice?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, too many choices.
Too many choices.
That's ruined my life.
It has.
It really has.
Well, that is the thing with social apps right now. It gives you the idea that you have so many options, even though you don't really. Like my friend and yeah, like one of my best friends.
You don't really. You're too ugly. You don't really.
No, but you don't. The thing is that it's you don't have a lot of options. There's a lot of things in front of you, but it doesn't mean that they are right for you or you're going to make them work in some way.
And for the listeners who aren't familiar with this, people assume that when you have more choices, you're happy. But in reality, what happens is the more choices you have, the less happy you become. The ideal amount of choices is like two or three. When you have 50 choices, you just don't know which one to choose and you get sad and depressed and don't choose anything.
Mm-hmm. That's me.
Oh, that's you?
Mm-hmm. I almost feel like frozen.
Mm-hmm.
I can't make a decision.
It's not just you. It's everyone.
Yeah.
And it's men too. So paradox of choice. You guys can look it up. It's on
Wikipedia. If I was a woman in like 1950 that had no choice but to just like go be a secretary or just clean the house, I'm telling you I'd be happier. Because
you know what you're supposed to do.
Simplified life for me. I've had too many options. What do I do? Where should I live? What can I now I'm just alone in my bedroom going like, bleh, I have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the thing I think is going on with Katie. I don't have much more information than this to go off of.
Good thing. There's a lot.
Right. I know there's a lot, but I'd have like a million more questions. The thing is that at the end of the day, I have to remember she I don't want to downplay your age, but you are only 23. Right. And I don't actually think you know what you want. You're about to go into the military and you do all of these other very grown up things like you volunteer at a nursing home. Mm-hmm. You're about to go into the military, risk your life. Like that is a very grown up thing to do. But I really don't think that your taste, your flavor, your decisions for a partner in life are fully formed yet. So either you're not selecting people that fit into what it is that you want, or you don't actually know what you want and are just being not skewed, but won over by certain people who may not be in the category of what you're looking for, but they know how to attract you in the first phases and engage you in conversation in the way that you like, but they may not fit into what it is you're looking for and what it is that you can be attracted to for a longer period of time. And as well, like what Brad was saying, you may not really be ready for a serious relationship right now. You may not want that. You are going to the military very soon. It's not really a great idea for you to enter into a serious relationship. It's not horrible, but it's not ideal for you to do if you're about to go do something else. You're very passionate about you.
You really are.
Yeah, big muscular.
It's like your own dating app.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's what it says.
Take a break and then like explore the military scene a little while.
Yeah, but maybe also explore more about what it is that you're looking for on a deeper level. Not just like I want a tall person, I want athletic, I want muscular and alpha. Yeah, those are all great things.
Come on, ladies, there's only one of me to go around.
Right. But you have to look at the other things of like how you want to feel around a person. What values do you have? What values does the other person have? What do you like to enjoy doing? Like all of these things you want to put more thought into. And then you can start selecting from a better place and start seeing some red flags from other people that may be wasting your time if you do go on a date with them, because you could have cut down on that 100 date list very easily if you had a better picker. Like I have, I was trying to say before, my neighbor and one of my best friends across the street just started dating again. She just got divorced. She like got into it really fast, kind of like what you did.
Yeah.
Like literally decided she wanted a divorce 2 months ago. A month later, they were going through the process.
Whoa.
And he's moved out. And now she is online. She's on OkCupid and she's loving all of the attention. She's getting a huge ego boost, but she's getting getting very discouraged because she has all of this attention coming in. She likes the attention. She likes talking with people, but she goes on dates with people and they're not what they appear to be online, or she's just getting really excited about the energy that's coming her way. She's not picking as well as she would have done in the past. She's sort of letting anybody sort of filter their way through. That's what I think is happening with Katie as well. I think that she's just letting, not letting anybody through, but she's letting certain types through.
I mean,
that
if
may
you're
not
going on 100 dates, you're letting basically anyone through.
Right, that you're not like, it's not serving you. And she lives in the suburbs too. It's not.
Ooh.
Yeah. Like, so it's like, I just don't think you're filtering, and I think your picker is a little bit off.
I have a special announcement for the nerds listening.
Yeah.
Boys and girls. There is some changes that are going on in our digital world that are affecting the way you feel and the way you think and the way you conduct your relationships and the way you conduct your life. And I think a lot of what's going on with people is they don't understand how our digital culture is affecting the way that they think. So I'd like to recommend a book to you that will explain some of this to you. And this is only for nerds because it's a really hard book to read and it's very theoretical and philosophical, but it's called Present Shock. Present Shock is a book from Douglas Rushkoff.
That's what I feel when I open my aunt's gifts to me. I'm like, I'm in shock from this present. It's terrible.
The idea of present shock is that everything is now happening in the present, and there's so many things happening at once. It's like, you have a match. You have an email. Mm-hmm. You have a friend request. Here's the news. Donald Trump said this.
My God, I'm feeling depressed already.
Yeah.
It is too much.
It's an overwhelming amount of information, and humans have never had to deal with this many demands on their attention.
Especially men.
Yeah, especially men. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're kind of doing this multitasking thing that it does confuse the brain a bit. And in some ways it's good. I mean, if you know how to harness the power of the digital age, it can be good. But if you let the digital age harness you, then it's not good. And I think what this book does is it helps you make the digital stuff work for you instead of you working for them. Because I think 99% of people are getting run over by email and Facebook and the 24-hour news cycle these days. So a little off topic, but wanted to throw it out there.
I agree with you because it ties directly to what Katie was saying about being on Bumble and the same thing that so many people who write into us say. There's too many options in front of you, and it is very distracting to have, you know, this app giving you a notification that somebody likes you, this person winked at you, this person this, then the news, and it's brain fatigue.
So I have on one of my dating apps, I have like it just is like bio. It's the league, if anyone's wondering. And it doesn't give you much space to write about yourself. And I don't write a lot anyway, but I just say female Larry David. That's all it says. So guy wrote to me the other day. He's like, you have pretty, pretty, pretty good profile. You know, like he was trying to do the Larry David thing. And I didn't respond. He's cute, 6'4", good job. And I didn't respond. And so then he wrote back a week later and he said, I know you got that reference. And I wrote back, and I just was being honest, and he hasn't written back yet, so it's probably maybe not a good thing to say back. But I just said, to be honest with you, yes, I got the reference, but I am so exhausted with dating apps that I just couldn't find the energy to respond. And I'm sorry for the downer, but that's legit why I didn't respond. And it's true. It's because I'm so overwhelmed. I really am. I'm so overwhelmed.
Yeah, my sister just deleted all her apps, too. She just said it was just too much and it wasn't the right people that were on there.
I deleted my apps for a couple months, and then I got bored and went back on them, or lonely and went back on them. And Tinder, I don't even open anymore because it's a garbage dump. It's the worst. But even with I'm just using Bumble, the league, and then I was on JSwipe. I deleted JSwipe. But
because my people kicked you off?
actually on my profile, it said your mom's favorite, Shiksa. That was what it said. I actually got a lot of matches, and I talked to like two cute dudes, and then I just honestly I needed space on my phone. Like my phone was like, can't take more pictures. So I was like, all right, bye bye, Jake White. You're first to go. But I'm just overwhelmed.
Again, not the chosen person.
No.
It's not an unusual story. The majority of people are kind of overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's like, not only do you have the dating apps, you have, like you said, your email,
your
text
coming
in, you're looking at Instagram.
I have it on my phone now where CNN updates me. I don't know how to turn it off.
Yeah, same. I just get news, and I'm like, how do they even turn
I know. I'm like, I'm not that smart.
I don't care about news. Yeah, I
know
this.
Although I do read some of them. Like, I don't even know what I'm saying. But like, it's too much. It's
you
too
don't
many
own
alerts.
That phone owns
me.
Yes, it does, and it's watching you. totally
I'm Kristen,
watching
iPhone
you.
7.
Anyway, back to Katie. I think that a lot of what we're talking about may be going on with you, but I think even more so, you're 20 fucking three. You're about to go to the military. Give yourself a break. Take some, like, relax. Enjoy people. But if you are sincerely looking for a serious relationship, you got to get a little bit better with picking who you go out with. Going on 100 dates where you're incorrect and wrong and it's not the right match for you, there's something off there. So getting to know you a little bit more, what it is that you're looking for, a lot of my programs, the first section of most of my programs are about discovering you, figuring out what you want. And there's like great guidebooks and questionnaires in there that can help you filter down what it is that you're looking for so that you can spot it a lot more easily and you don't waste your time going on 100 dates. Okay, next question. Hey, ladies, I can't remember where I heard about your podcast, either Carolla or Rogan, but I added it, started listening to some current and past podcasts for a while and find some great advice. So thanks for that. Here's my question. Might be too long for the show, but here goes anyway.
Oh, great.
I'm in my mid-40s, 3 kids, 10 to 12, and going through a long divorce. Through Facebook, I reconnect with an old college flame who I always thought was the proverbial one that got away. Long story short, she went back to Texas for the summer and came back to college engaged. I was very disappointed, needless to say. We reconnected on Facebook around 6 years ago, but really only chatted.
6 years ago. Facebook's so old.
Yeah. And said happy birthday here and there until a year ago when I noticed she put something on her wall indicating her marriage was not in a good place. She was 16. She has 16-year-old twins, too. I sent her a message asking if she was okay, and we opened up a huge conversation about her pending divorce with an alcoholic and how my marriage was heading through divorce, too. She opened up about how she had feelings for me back in college, and I did the same thing with her. I told her I liked her as well, yada, yada, yada. And before we knew it, we were in a serious online relationship. I live in Northeast. She is in Texas. For about 8 months, we literally either texted or spoke on the phone every day, all day, and she would send me pictures of her just about every day, too. Yes, she would send a couple of naked pics, and we did sext a couple of times, and she pushed me to come see her, which we were unable to make work for a variety of reasons, including kid schedules, but mostly current spousal issues. After about 7 months, her divorce was final, but mine was still dragging out, and we kept on for another couple of months. She asked me to come meet her in Dallas for a weekend when her kids had to spend time with the fathers. Grandparents, but I couldn't make it work, so I asked her to come up to me, but she didn't want to leave her kids with an alcoholic just in case. Every indication was that we were seriously going somewhere, if not already there, given the amount of time we spent engaging with each other, even though it was online and on the phone. But she gradually pulled back a couple of months after her divorce was final. And when I confronted her about it, and why she seems to be pulling back, she said she doesn't want to be involved with a married man. I asked
if I thought he was getting divorced.
He is. But everybody's separated. So separated is like a weird space, you know? If I could come down and see her in December, but she said she was unable to meet with me. No further explanation. Side note, about a year before she had kids, she had a 1-year-long affair with a coworker. Anyway, this is like not a big deal. She has told me how she needs me in her life. She wants me to love her. I need to come see her. We need to be together. She needs me right now, et cetera, et cetera. And lines like that really made me feel we were going to make it work and no matter what. And it's just a matter of time where I need to finalize my divorce and we are going for it. My question is this. Was I just a naive pawn for her divorce process? I truly have feelings for this woman and thought she did for me. I feel like a chump, but she still wants to be connected with me as a friend, but she can't be involved with a married man. I said that we were both on a path. She is just ahead of me, but I'll catch up if she's willing to wait, but she didn't give me an answer. I feel as if I need to just cut her out of all my social networks and forget Texas even exists. I, like a lot of people. But I have a business.
Outside of dating. Just
right, exactly. So, no offense to our listeners in Texas. I love Austin. but I have a business trip for several days in her city coming up in April. So do I just cut down the contact with her for a few months, then see if she wants to get together or chalk it up and move on? For a highly educated mid-40s grown man, I feel so confused about this. The intensity of our talks and getting close to each other. Then the abruptness of her pulling away has me wondering, what the fuck? If you read this all the way through, thanks, Mike.
Well, she was definitely using him to cope with the divorce. I can say girls and guys, but women do things to make themselves feel, like you said, like they have that network, like you were saying, when
the
tons of friends, it's like you need to feel safe almost. And he was one of those. Well, she could transition into being a single person because it's scary. And it's like either she could go through a divorce alone, which is basically like jumping off a cliff, or she could talk to someone and feel maybe old flames and good feelings. And instead of jumping off cliff, she's walking it down a hill that's not super steep.
Oh, it's very poetic.
But I mean, that's really what it is. So I think she just unfortunately was using him and he needs to move on.
But not that she knew that.
She didn't know that at the time.
Right. So I don't want to paint a picture like that women are
doing it on purpose
and being manipulative. But during that time period, it was her dream fantasy world that maybe got her through the day.
Right.
And at certain points during that process, she believed it. She was in it as well. And then when her divorce was finalized and she got through things, and I don't know the little side notes here that are happening about why you still are not divorced. And why things are taking longer, or why you weren't able to go down and meet with her during this time period. Like, I don't know if that was because you were just separated and you just maybe said you didn't feel right about it, or vice versa. I don't know what was going on in that middle gray zone, but there's something there that indicates that, I don't know if you were fully ready to give her what she wants, or maybe she feels like she needs time alone to herself afterwards, or she met somebody else who happens to live in Texas and can see her on a regular basis. So there's a lot of things that are going on there. I just think that, sadly, it was a relationship that played out, and it does kind of suck that she's saying that, because she was in that situation before and she was flirting with you in the same way. And to be honest, it is kind of bitchy of her to then say, oh, I don't want to be with a married man. And you were for 8 months. You were in a relationship with a married man, and he was in a relationship with a married woman. So there was something going on there. So I don't want to, like, just put all the blame onto you, Mike, and say, like, oh, like, you were stupid for getting into the situation. Like, both of you were doing something that felt great for 8 or 9 months, and now it's not working for her. And sadly, you know, her excuse isn't wonderful, or reason isn't wonderful for ending things, but it's just something that isn't working for her anymore on the same level.
Well,
those are my thoughts.
Our guest on our last show, Rain, said people aren't always in your life for permanent, like,
right,
for permanence. They're there for certain reasons at certain times, like seasonal kind of things. Yeah. And I hate to, like, for me, that hurts, because there's certain people that I want,
yeah,
in my life that I don't think will be here forever. And so it's a hard reality, but I think you were probably a necessary thing at that moment.
Yeah. And I think vice versa for him as well. You're both going through a hard time.
You
it's nice to have
for her.
Yeah.
You were autumn.
Right.
So she could get to winter and, like, be safe in the cold.
Right. And Brad, what do you think?
Yeah, I actually agree with everything you guys are saying. I think it's a really
dead
on analysis.
Yeah. Very smart.
Dead on analysis. And if that helps you to understand what happened, I think that'll be good for you. So let me give you a little to-do list, some actionable stuff.
Good.
Once you understand what happened, I think what you need to do is refuse to accept the demotion. You're about to be demoted to basically being her boyfriend to now being her friend. Never let a woman demote you unless you want to be her friend, which you don't. You want to be her romantic
Inside
interest.
Her.
Right. So say hi, no
you
problem.
You use the same technique where you just text right back, like, oh, I don't want to date you either.
Right.
I want to break up.
I don't even want to with a married woman.
Yeah.
I mean, whore. Much. You should mirror these things back. You should agree with her. Say, yeah, we should not be in a relationship. I'm a married man. Take care. Peace out.
Yeah.
She's going to be like, no, I don't want to be friends.
I want you in my life. Because she's addicted to you on that
right,
level as well.
Right.
You're a regular.
Take it away. Say, nope, we're not going to be friends.
You're her CNN pop-ups.
That's right. Yep. Say no.
Delete it.
Just say no. And you need to get more options. A lot of you guys who write in these emails, all these emails stem from the fact that you don't know how to go get yourself a woman.
Yeah.
You have to learn that. And then you wouldn't be so strung out on some chick 4,000 miles away who's just using you for her emotional, you know, support system while she goes through a divorce. That's why these things happen to you, because you have no other options.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Marnie will teach you. Stick with Marnie.
Oh, thank you. Brad's like, I've got 10 other businesses now. I don't have time for this bullshit anymore.
I have too many properties.
I've only got one business. I have to teach you this, and it can only be from me. Anyway, thank you so much for coming on to the show. Do you want to tell people how to get your products, or actually make a recommendation on a friend zone product that you have?
Well, if you go to bradp.com, that's my website, and I have something called the Black Book.
That's a good program.
Yeah, it's about how to meet women. But there's a bonus product to that. It's called Friend Zone Freedom.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, and it teaches you about the friend zone and how it works. And you kind of know.
Tells you how to
thoughts.
Delete people off of your Facebook account. Programming side to it as well.
Unfriend, the end.
Yeah.
Some people would be like, where do I do that?
Yeah. And if you're ready to get more options because you know that's what's causing all your problems because you don't know what you're doing with women, then get the Black Book, join my 30-30 club. It's 12 months of basically a college course on how to meet women and navigate the frightening dating environment these days because it's a jungle out there.
So it's a jungle out there. And you do need help. And here's the thing. Somebody wrote into me today. And was talking about, I forget what the situation was, but he was just saying, am I just like an overall unconfident person? And I said, to be honest, an unconfident person wouldn't be writing to me. A confident person who knows how to ask for help because you know, you don't have that strong of an ego over yourself or this great pride that's getting in the way of you achieving something. You are confident because you reached out to me or you reached out to somebody else or you've asked a question for our podcast. You're trying to get answers so that you can move forward in your life. That, I believe, is a part of being a confident person.
Well, it's like they know the foundation's there.
Yeah.
And they want to
exactly. And it can be worked on. So I think that these are...
Even if you have no confidence, you can get some.
Right. Exactly.
It's just, if you have zero confidence, there are still... things you can say and steps that you can take that will make women get attracted to you. I teach guys with no confidence all the time. I'm like, you're going to wear this. You're going to say this. Off you go.
They get off you attraction go. From I love how easy women. You make it. 247 women later. There you go.
And 247 STDs yes, later also.
Exactly. Okay. So go to bradp.com. Is that what it was?
Bradp.com. Get the Black Book Method. Join my 30-30 club. I'm on that forum. I will give you advice directly. It's part of the club. You don't have to pay extra or anything. I watch it and I'm on there every day.
Oh, I think that's wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I always love having you on the show and I love seeing you.
Yeah,
so I'm glad
you.
You've pretty much been in every single one of our studios.
Yes, I've been in them all.
And I like, and this is the smallest one. You probably feel so claustrophobic right now because you're so big.
It's pretty like trendy. It. You're up in West Hollywood now.
I know.
Soho across exactly. the Soho House.
Exactly. Oh, we were in East Hollywood before, that crappy area, Burbank. Now we're in
Burbank.
Like right on the border of Beverly Hills.
I know.
Can see
that's
Beverly
our
Hills
next move. Actually, it's where we started.
Full circle.
That's kind of funny. Anyway, thank you for being on the show. Kristen, do you want to announce anything about your new podcast?
Yeah,
that you
I've got a new
out?
Podcast. It's called Mentally Chill. I'm going to say this every time. The ILL is in parentheses.
Okay,
really
we get it.
Ill. I know. Yes. Like, stop saying that. We got it. And it's all about depression. And we talk about not only like stories of people with depression, like we talk to them, but we also talk about like the history of depression, old methods like
so
back
smart.
In the day of how they would deal with psychosis and things like that. And then also we talk about like successful people with depression and how they've overachieved.
I think it's going to be an excellent podcast.
Yeah. So
I'm
check
excited
it
for
out.
You. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I will never
I'm
listen
so
to it, but I'm sure it will be fantastic.
You don't need to.
I'm so interested in this topic.
Oh, it's awesome. We did one episode and we couldn't stop talking because there's so much to talk about.
Well, the thing is that you would be very surprised as to who actually is depressed. I'm telling you, some of the most powerful people.
Right.
Yeah.
And we listen to a lot of depression podcasts because there are podcasts on depression and it's generally the host just interviewing somebody about their depression, but no one really talks about the history and gives, more of a... Not that we're doctors, but we're trying to dissect the entire thing rather than just talk to someone with depression.
But it's funny also. There's some cool new technology about depression and mental illness that's just coming around right now. There's something called Mind Analytics. Have you seen this yet?
No.
Mind Analytics. This is what they do. You know how a lot of people who get depression, they do psychiatric medications?
Mm-hmm. Yes, like me.
So it's an EKG test where they hook up all these electrodes to you. And they check your EKG, and then they have a database where they compare your results to a lot of other people and how their results were with medications.
Oh, wow.
So they can kind of dial in your meds a lot quicker by using this EKG test.
Mm-hmm. To see what your brain waves
that's
will
amazing.
Respond
yeah.
to.
So, that's yeah. cool. Thank you for telling me that, because so many people waste so much time trying different medications.
Yeah.
And you have to get on it, and then you have to adjust to it, and then you have to taper
it's
off
a two-month
of it.
Process,
and then
right?
you taper off of it. Yeah. I mean, it's like months and months.
Yeah, it
and
is.
You can go through so many. You can go a year and you still haven't found the right medication.
Yeah, there's two for speeding up that process. Now, Mind Analytics is the first one. The Peers is the name of the test. And the other one is called genetic testing. They actually swab your cheek and they check how quickly you metabolize
They're like,
psychiatric
you're white,
medications.
You'll definitely be depressed. If you have no other problems. We know that in your DNA.
Right. Wait, go on. So what is this?
Well, everybody metabolizes psychiatric medications at a different rate. And that's what you use to adjust the dosage. So this will actually tell your psychiatrist how quickly you metabolize this stuff, and you get your dosage right on the first try. Amazing
wow.
stuff.
That's insane.
Yeah.
And what's the name of that?
How again? Do you know so much about this? Do you suffer from depression as well?
I've never had depression, but I have a degree in psychology, and I've done a lot of work in the mental health field. I was a social worker. I worked in a house for depressed people and schizophrenics for many years. So
did you work at my house?
I did.
It's called the Carney Household.
I remember you. It's very impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, that's amazing.
I just love this topic. And I pull a lot of mental health information over to the dating world and psychological information.
Yeah, it's all related so much.
That's
so
right.
So interesting. Well, I'm glad that you could be here. I'm glad we got to see you again.
That's called Mako, by the way, Kristen. The genetic testing by a company called Mako.
Okay, awesome.
Yes. You should have him on your show.
Yes, you should come on.
Oh, I'd love that.
That'd be really interesting. Okay, cool. We'll exchange information afterwards. Anyway, thank you for listening to our podcast. You guys are wonderful. New episodes of the Ask Women podcast come out every week. I don't know what day yet, but every week they come out. And if you subscribe, you will be notified of this on your little pop-up that comes up on your phone. And if you're on my newsletter list, I will tell you when new episodes are coming out. You guys are awesome and wonderful. If you want to write in questions for Overanalyze This, please write to ask@askwomenpodcast.com. And we will see you next week.